Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. This is episode el numero uno nine. That's right. 19 times we have sat together, Jess, to do this show, and it gets a little better every time. I enjoy being with my friend Jess Strongarm Estep. It is good to have you with us today. We're in the Killing Teen Room today, so
yeah.
We're going to try to maybe make this our permanent home, and it's very nice and lots of good things to do here. We've contacted some people about maybe upping our backdrop a little bit, so hopefully things are on the move forward. We do have Facebook Live and Periscope with us today, so we're very thankful for that. Jess, it is so good to see you. Tell me a little bit about what's been going on with you.
Well, first of all, it's good to see you today. I didn't see you much last week, but
That's
I saw you Sunday night, and it was good to see you and the family, and it's good to be in the zoo today.
Always.
And you know, just getting fall kicked off, and talking about what's been going on. This past week was pretty slow. You know, we were talking earlier about in August, I know we both typically don't try to plan too much. There are a couple of things that come up, but, you know, earlier in one of the episodes, we talked about balance, and that's one of the things that I feel, you know, about August when the teens are getting back into the swing of school, my family's getting back into the swing of school. I know yours is too as well. And so sometimes it's good to sit back, take the month of August, do some planning, and get back in the swing of things, figure out how all of the sports schedules are going to work out so you can kind of figure out what your family plan and your ministry plan is going to be for the fall. So really, to be honest, there hasn't been a whole lot going on this past week. I know we're still in the middle. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we've been in this series on James, the book of James, throughout the month of August.
Right.
We do our classes are split up by month, not by quarter. And so we took the month of August, split the guys and the girls up. And the girls really wanted to do that, and it's been a blessing. It's been great. And we've been going through the book of James. We've been using the AIM series videos to kind of spearhead that discussion. And so that's been really good. That ends in about a week. It ends next Wednesday. We've only got a couple more classes left. So that's been going on. It's been really good. We had Shine, which is students having an impact on now and eternity.
That's
at Heritage Christian University each year in August.
Yep.
So we had Shine, and then I don't know. I guess there were somewhere like 300 people there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard around 300. So
yeah.
Shine is kind of the lead into Shoals Air Youth Series for the winter portion.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have big crowds for that, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, I heard around 300 people. Yeah, that's kind of what I heard. Mm-hmm. So
you know, other than that, and that was kind of exciting. It's good to have that kind of activity in the area to get all the teens together. They always enjoy seeing their friends. And Youth Series, we still do it in the summer, but the numbers are a little lower. There's people on vacation, people doing things in the summertime, camps and whatnot. And so when you get back for the fall and everybody's together and they're seeing some of the friends they haven't seen all summer, and it's just great to have that going on. So what about you? I know it's been kind of slow for you too, were talking about.
Yeah, you know, this week is just, we just really, Shine was about the only thing we really had going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, full fall activities, just kicking back into gear. You know, you got football and marching competitions and different things like that. Volleyball is about to get rolling as well. So we've got a couple of girls playing volleyball. You know, it's just all kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, we're getting ready. We're about to start making preparations for CYC. I try to get that done and out of the way, you know, because there's just so many people that are involved in that and so many people want to be a part of that. I kind of get stressed a little bit, and I try to get that out of the way early. We're going to add golf to our schedule this
time. Is that right?
As well.
Okay.
So we're going to have a parent meeting here in a couple of weeks to kind of discuss what's been going on and what the differences between those two conferences are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously one of the biggest ones being location and the time mm-hmm. of year, things like that. But we've just got some who can't attend CYC because of different things going on. So we feel like golf might be a good opportunity.
Gives
for them
to get some options
to
there.
Get something
yeah.
in. And so we're excited about that, but we certainly got to talk about that and hammer out some details. But, you know, just lots of stuff going on that we've been planning for. It's not hit yet.
Mm-hmm.
But once September rolls around, it really starts to push. It really starts to lean on you, and you really start to hit the full stride of what you've been able to relax from, you know, the month of August. But that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us excited. It keeps the young kids excited. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, when kids are excited, parents are excited for them. Yeah. So it just kind of reaches out into that youth and family ministry that we're trying to accomplish. But speaking of busy schedules,
yeah,
our topic today kind of covers busy schedules and what the end result of a busy schedule could be mm-hmm. if we don't take some preparation and precaution to take care of ourselves. So, Jess, why don't you kind of introduce today's topic for us?
Well, today what we thought we'd do is, like Wes said, we're coming off of a real busy summer, and we're getting into fall mode now and planning for the events of the fall and the winter and beyond. I just had a meeting with our parents and teens, the ones that were here. We had a big group out of town. You know, Brooks played football in Montgomery, and then
they
had a monsoon come, it seemed like, in the middle of the game, and they didn't get through till like midnight. And so most of our folks were gone. We have like 8 students in the band, and then we have some that were down there for football and a couple of cheerleaders. So we had a lot of people gone. But we did meet with people that were here, and we gave out our calendar. And I did my best to come up with events from now until May.
Yeah.
And some of the things are weekly that we know are pretty much going to happen. And
sure.
I just wanted to give them a look, you know, a really long vision of what is going to be going on through the fall and the winter and the spring. But anyway, thinking about that and scheduling, and I looked at Lori and I said, I don't know why. I don't know why I do this to myself, you know, and we have to always come back to, well, it's not for myself. And so coming off of a busy summer, thinking, you know, we're going to have August to kind of get our breath and plan, then kicking back into September, things do pick up a lot, you know, camps and VBS and youth series and game nights and service projects and mission trips. All those things kind of consume those 2 months while the teens are out of school.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for a youth minister to get burnout, to just get burned out. And so that's really what we want to – that's the drive for the discussion today, is how can we overcome burnout as youth ministers? I know there's other people that they experience burnout in their jobs, and so maybe some of these things can apply to them. I don't know, but specifically to youth ministry, you know, how do we overcome that? Because it's going to happen at some point, you know, and look, I'm not judging anybody, but if you are really pouring your heart into your ministry and, you know, and planning things and showing up and being there, and I think you have to this day and age, when everybody's so busy, you have to plan almost twice as much so that it gives everybody an opportunity to do something, just like what you were talking about with adding golf. So, but you're at everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're at everything. You know, the teens and the families, you know, they join when they can.
Yeah.
You know, that tends to be what happens. And so they join when they can. And some of them do most everything. Some of them do various things, but you're at everything and I'm at everything and other youth ministers are planning these things. And so how do we overcome the burnout that's going to happen? You're going to feel that weight of, you know, I've just been going and going and going and I just need a break. I just need, you know, and I'll be honest with you. I know some people that have said, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And they've gotten out of ministry altogether.
Right.
And said, you know what, I've got to do something where my life is structured in a different way. And so that happens, and you either overcome it or you get out.
Yeah.
And we don't need people to get out.
That's right. We need people to stick around.
We need people to stick around. We're losing ministers, and we're losing youth ministers. And so how can we, and you know, this is not something I went to school to learn about, was burnout. You know, I'm not sure that that ever came up in my discussions at Heritage Christian University.
Right.
So I don't know if, you know, some of you guys have some suggestions you think, wow, they missed on this. This one was really big and they missed on it. Y'all email us or contact us on our pages and
for sure.
And let us know. And maybe we can mention that in the next episode, because we want to provide that. We want to get that out to everybody so that, you know, they can be thinking about, okay, when this happens, here's something I can do. But we've got about six things that we're going to discuss and talk about. And we're going to try to keep the time short so that, you know, when you're driving to work, you can get a whole episode in. And, you know, hopefully you can do that. So we're gonna get right into it. So, Wes, what do you think? What's something that we can do to overcome burnout?
Yeah, and this is unique because, like Jess said, everybody at some point experiences burnout, whether you're in ministry or not. You know, you deal with it. It's just part of life. And so it helps to have good people around you, good support systems. But I think one of the things that we have to absolutely remember to keep in mind to overcome or to avoid burnout is you have to remember your purpose. You have to remember why you're doing what you're doing. And first and foremost, we need to be glorifying God through everything that we do. And that should give you a passion and a push to say, okay, I've got to push through this. I've got to, I've made this commitment. I've made this decision. I've got to stick to it and I've got to push through it. So I think remembering your purpose and understanding that glorifying God is our purpose and we're here to minister to people. We're here to give people the greatest gift that they could possibly hear, and that's to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, you're going to encounter a lot of different things. People are going to want to talk to you about stuff that you're not an expert on, that you're going to have to lean on other people to be able to help them and to talk with them about that. But our purpose is to serve and to glorify God. And so doing that can give us a little boost, a little extra push, some elbow grease, if you will, you know, to push through and to really scrub and to really make sure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to not experience burnout, but to continue to remember what our purpose is and why we're here doing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's so important that we just keep our minds focused on the goal, you know, and the reason that we do what we do is to try to help bring people closer to God, you know, to help them connect with Jesus, to help them connect with the Bible, to help them connect to God. You know, that's what it's all about. And if we lose sight of that, then yeah, we can really let our weariness affect us in a very negative way.
Yeah.
But if we'll sit down at night, if we'll sit down in the morning, if we'll sit down after a week that we have just, you know, had a lock-in and had youth series and had, you know, bouncing up and down at the at Sky Zone or whatever it is, you know, we've had something going on every single day that is physically exhausting, mentally, spiritually exhausting. You sit down and say, why did we just do all of this?
Right.
You know, and sometimes the answer is we just wasted opportunities. And so sometimes that might be the case.
Sure.
You know, we just did a lot of fun things. But you could look at it that way, or you could say, we spent good time together,
right?
And we bonded, we had fun together. And, you know, what that does is now when they come into the classroom, they've spent that time together and they know each other a little bit better. You know, here at Killen, I've said this before, we've got like seven schools mixed together. They need to spend some fun time together,
sure.
Just, you know, getting to know each other and learning to get past some of those barriers. But, you know, sit down at the end of that week and say, you know, there was a reason that we did this.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. You know, what was the purpose behind the fun? What was the purpose, you know, and wow, they, you know, when you get to thinking about it, you think, wow, that we really grew.
Yeah.
And then you find that purpose. And then I think that can drive you.
Yeah, I agree.
So another thing I think that we need to keep our minds on is to focus on the victories that we encounter.
Yeah.
The victories that we have. Now, what do I mean? This could be personal for us. It could be victories for the youth group, victories for them as teenagers individually. And I think we need to look at the whole spectrum. You know, when we plan something or we decide we're going to go somewhere, we need to be thinking about after the fact. What were the victories that we had? So if we go to Youth Series, what's the victory there? Well, you know, even if you didn't have a huge crowd, but maybe five or six, well, the victory was, again, we spent valuable time together.
For sure.
Maybe the victory was that somebody went forward. Maybe the victory was that there was a baptism. And we need to be thinking about, you know, at the end of those exhausting times when we're really feeling it, you know, what are the victories that I can focus on? Well, I saw so-and-so that has a lot of influence and, you know, popularity go over to somebody that may have been on the fringe, who maybe comes by themselves, doesn't get much encouragement, is kind of an outsider. Yeah. And I saw that popular person with influence go and speak to that person,
right,
and say, come sit with us. That's a victory. And we need to notice those things. And we need to brag about those things, but that may be a different episode. Teens stepping up to lead in those ways. When you have a Bible class and the boys raise their hand, they want to read or lead a prayer. The girls want to read and be involved in that way. You know, really don't underestimate those things, and don't let those things just fly by you. Notice those things. And when you start to feel a little burned out, think about, well, you know, we had some victories.
Yeah.
I've seen some teenagers start to lead. They've been stepping up. They've been accepting other people, and they've been inviting their friends. And sometimes we go through that, you know, I don't know, want to say we go through the motion, but we just get in that cycle and we don't notice those things, and they don't stick out to us as big as they are.
Right.
Those are pretty big deals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that you have to remember when you're talking about focusing on the victories, and again, this applies to ministry, it applies to teenagers, and it can apply in the workplace. When you focus on the negative, you're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're focusing on the things that didn't do well, now you've got to remember those things,
right,
so that you can learn from them and move forward and grow. But if you spend your time focusing and harnessing all your energy on the things that didn't go the way that you hoped they would or you planned for them to, we lose a lot of growth. And we also lose a lot of spiritual growth, but we lose a lot of growth with our teenagers and the people that are around us, because they're doing something great. And in their mind, they're spending time together, they're focusing on God, but we're over here focusing on what could have been,
mm-hmm,
instead of focusing on what's right in front of us. So I think when we focus on the victories, it doesn't allow us to sit and ponder or be negative. It makes us, and it encourages us, and it pushes us to focus on those victories and to make sure that going forward we have more of those victories and we're encouraging those. Because when young people have victories, they want to know that people see it, and they want to be encouraged through it. And anytime we see people being victorious or doing something good or something good's happening for them, it's our responsibility to go to them and encourage them and say, mm-hmm, hey, you know, look, I saw what you did, and I'm proud of you. We just don't do that enough in our society. We just don't do that enough. We just don't encourage people. We don't support people enough. We're just focused and fueled by the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really need to focus on those victories. I think that's really, really special what you said there.
It's funny how things pop in your head when you're talking to somebody, and sometimes that happens when I'm preaching, and then I can't remember later, but something just hit me, something that I might do is keep up with a victory journal, where I write down when these little victories happen within the youth group. You know, 1 Corinthians says, you know, love counts no record of wrong. But I think we can keep a record of victories.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And then you can go back to that and pray over those things. Thank God for these victories. And when you feel a little burned out, go back to that journal and say, wow, there was so much good that has happened, you know, and let that encourage you. So anyway, that's just popped in my head.
I don't know about you, but Chris Moran, who is a good friend of ours, I was going through a point where I was just kind of struggling over just one particular thing. And he said, do you keep a copy of every card or every note of encouragement that you get? And I said, no. I mean, and this was very early in ministry. And he said, start keeping up with those things. When people send you something, they've taken time out of their day to thank you. That's something influential. So not only should we be hanging on to those things and seeing those victories, we should be doing those things for other people too.
That's a good point.
So the journal, I mean, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. You write that thing down, because I forget. I mean, I'll see it and I'll go to them and I'll say, hey, good job. But it's nice to be able to go back later and say, hey, you remember you did this and we're proud of you. Yep. So, yeah, the journal. Great.
Well, and, you know, we've all got those students who do struggle.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes they're very honest about it. And I don't have anybody in particular in mind, but I just know through the years I've had people, students that have just been real honest with me about things they've struggled with. And I think doing that journal, when you mark down their victory, and then later on when they're feeling a little discouraged, they're feeling like, you know, they're going to turn back to whatever it is that they struggle with, you can pull that journal out. Let me show you something.
Yeah.
Let me remind you. Let's remind each other on this date. This is, you overcame and you accomplished this, and just go back and show them. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's start doing that.
Yeah, I'll have to mark that down. Another thing that you can do to try to overcome or to avoid burnout is do something new. Sometimes as youth ministers, especially, and in work or whatever it is, you just get in this monotonous routine. Mm-hmm. You're just constantly doing the same thing because that's what we know and that's what we're comfortable with. That's our comfort zone. Don't be afraid to try something new. Whether you see another youth minister on Facebook or something that they've tried, that they've done, that's been successful for them, understand it may not be successful for you.
Right.
But try it. Give it a go, because, you know, the kids are looking for ways to grow and to overcome and to experience new adventures with each other. And as their minister, as somebody who's dealing with them on a frequent basis, they need to see that we're not just stuck in a routine, that we're trying to do new things. We're trying to help them grow. We ourselves are trying to grow. And I think that's why it's important when you bring in a series, you try to incorporate as many new things into that series as you can. That way you don't become so monotonous in your routine. They don't just become accustomed to, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. Give them a shot of energy. Give them something to be focused on. Give them something to mount up and really put their best foot forward to try to help you out with it.
I agree. I think, you know, with your Bible classes, try something new, do something. If you're getting in a rut and you're thinking, you know, we're just not engaging with each other in our classes, you know, try something new, bring in some different people maybe to help, bring in the elders, bring in some deacons, bring in some parents, you know, whatever, move to a different room. If you have another room, you know, do something to shake it up, you know, bring some object lessons in. But even with your scheduling, you know, this fall looks a lot different than last fall for us because I've had to do some of this. And so we've cut down on our 121, which is our weekly meal and service project on Wednesday nights, and we're doing that twice a month now. We're going to have a friends night, you know, once a month to make up for one of those nights. And we're also doing a fan van, which I got the idea from you. You guys were ribbing me the other day at lunch about, you know, stealing ideas from everybody. But hey, look, if somebody's got a good idea, like you're saying, you know, take it and run with it and do your thing with it. And I know you don't mind. And look, if it were up to me, you know, if I came up with it, I'd just assume see, you know, 12 congregations in the area doing the same thing if it works for them.
Yeah.
I think it would be awesome to see 10 church vans going around on Friday nights, said, you know, SYS or SYG fan van, KYM fan van, Tuscumbia Youth, you know, fan van, and Wood Avenue fan, you know, whatever. But so our schedule looks a little bit different. We're doing a little bit, you know, some things a little different. Last year we changed some things up. We started a retreat in February. We go down to the beach in February now. And I tell you what, it was one of the best weekends that we've had as a youth group. And so, you know, not only does that encourage you and give you something new to look forward to, and get your mind out of the old, well, it's just same old, I'm playing the same things. And, you know, why do I keep doing this? It gives you something new to look forward to, gives the teens something new to look forward to. And I think it can really help with, you know, that burnout.
Yeah.
You know, with that idea of just being so tired of, you know, doing the same old things.
Right.
Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah. And one of the things to always remember when you're trying something new, communicate. Get the word out. Let them know about it. Let them be excited about it. Let them be able to talk to their friends about it. So when you're trying something new, be sure that you cross all your T's, dot all your I's, and get the word out there, because they will be excited. They'll tell other people. The other people will be excited. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to fuel back to us as well.
One of the new things, you know, just to make that point, one of the new things we're doing this school year, I'm going to meet with our students at 7:30 a.m. every Friday morning in one of our classrooms of one of our parents here that teaches, and we're just going to have a prayer group. We're going to pray for about 10 or 15 minutes. You know, I might take some donuts. I might take some biscuits. And, you know, I don't think we'll have just a ton. You know, I mean, that's early to get to school.
Yeah.
But just shaking it up a little bit, and we weren't going to start it till September, and they said, we're excited about this. Let's start it this week. So this coming Friday, we're going to start that. And
it's awesome.
And I'm excited about it. You know, I'm pumped up about it. I think it can be great. You know, I'm not trying to say my faith is weak to say I don't think we'll have it. I'm trying to be realistic and not, you know how sometimes we get our expectations up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be realistic with my expectations. Sure. That way, if we have a ton, I'll be thrilled. But, you know, hopefully we'll have, you know, 100% participation. And they've been talking to their friends about it. So I honestly have no idea. But anyway, that's don't want to spend too much time on that. But just to say that's something new, you know, and we need to be constantly thinking about things that we can do that's new. So that can really help to encourage us. I think also, if you're keeping count, this is number four, talk to other ministers about it.
Yeah.
You know, we have monthly youth minister lunches in this area,
right,
and we get together. We usually go to somewhere like Rick's Barbecue and just eat lunch. It's not always a business type meeting, but you know, it gives us an opportunity to talk about what we're going through and some things we're encouraged with, some things we've been discouraged with. And
right,
I think those have been really good for me because, you know, sometimes it's the discussion after we eat when everybody's kind of leaving and there's just a few still kind of left in the parking lot, and we really get to talking about, you know, what we're really going through and, you know, just to say, look, I'm feeling it. You know, I'm worn out. I'm tired, you know. And just to have somebody there to say, look, you know, I am too, but let's keep going. Let's keep some things in mind and push through. And just to have that encouragement to be able to say, you're doing a great job. You need to keep up. Don't get discouraged. Don't get burned out. You know, things will slow down and take some time and whatnot. To have that support group, you know, I think is very important. You need to find some other ministers to talk to about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and we kind of bank off other youth ministers to kind of see what's working for them, what's mm-hmm. not working for them, and we can share with them what's working for us and what's not working for us. But one very valuable resource for me is pulpit ministers who have been through youth ministry, mm-hmm. and they can kind of see it from that other perspective now. And, you know, they can really, really hone in and say, if I had it to do over again, I would try this, or I would stay away from this, you know. And we have several of those men in our area. We have several who are, you know, elders in the congregation now that have worked with young people, you know, just different men in different roles that have been in youth ministry positions that could have very easily gone through burnout, you know, and maybe that's something that they experienced, something that they dealt with, and they can share with us the experiences that they had. So not only lean on your fellow youth ministers, but if you know of a pulpit minister in your area that had a long tenure in youth ministry or maybe a short tenure, don't be afraid to reach out to them either. And, you know, the great thing about what we do and what we're involved in is there are so many people who want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be looking for ways, they just don't know for ways. It doesn't hurt to reach out to them because they want to help you. I can't think of another minister in our area or anywhere in the Brotherhood, to be honest with you, that if you went to them, they would purposely lead you down the wrong path.
Right.
I think it's just wise to talk to other people, fill them out, see what's happening with their ministries, youth ministers or former youth ministers, fill them out and talk to them. Don't be afraid to express your concern. Don't be afraid to express something that maybe you have struggled with or failed at, because they can give you some pointers to help you turn that around and to guide you through so that burnout doesn't happen to you.
So it's so important to have friends and mentors in ministry, you know, that are going through it, that have already been through it in different ways. And so, find that support group, talk to other ministers about it. You know, and I guarantee you, what you'll come away from is the knowledge that, hey, I'm not alone.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think another thing that we can do to avoid burnout, we got to take some personal time.
Yeah.
There's no shame in saying, you know, look, I got to take some time for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old gospel preacher who, when I first started in ministry and I first began my first work, I was doing my first internship. He told me, he said, take every opportunity to spend with your family that you can, because I think he was 82 at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, I missed everything.
Right.
Because I spent all my time focused on, you know, not my family. And he said, I left my wife to do everything at home. And he said, that wasn't fair to her. It wasn't fair for my kids to not know their dad. You know, all they knew about dad was, you know, he was doing a gospel meeting in Arkansas this week. And, you know, and so that really hit home with me. Now, he was saying to me, do your job. Mm-hmm. And uphold your responsibility, and you teach people, and you help people, and you guide people, and you do what you are set here to do as a Christian and as a minister. You do those things, but when you have the opportunity to spend some time with your family, don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah,
do it. Take advantage of those times. I was taking a homiletics course with Ted Burleson, and he was talking about the days when he was working in the youth circuit, kind of, and he was talking about a month stretch where, you know, he had been in his house, you know, very, very little. And he said, I can remember being at camp and just praying, you know, God, I need a break. I need a break. And later that day during sports time, he had a compound fracture in his leg.
Is that so? He literally got a break.
He literally got his break, and he said, "I'm not telling you that's what I wanted," but he said, "You know, I needed to take some time. There was 3 or 4 days where I could have relaxed and just took some time and been with my family and spent some time with them, but I didn't. You know, I took it and did other things with it and did not spend that time with them. And I wish I would have, because I was asking for that break." And I got it in a way that I was not expecting. So, take some personal time. I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities.
No.
But I'm saying when you've got the opportunity to take some time for you and for your family, please don't feel guilty about it. Go and do it and have that time with them, because your family deserves a little bit of your time as well.
It was pretty telling the other day, I can't remember what show it was on. I might have had Paul Feinbaum on the radio. I think that's what it was.
Paul?
Paul. Yeah, but it wasn't Paul that was actually hosting that day. He was out of town, I guess. It was somebody else. And they were mentioning Nick Saban. I think it was during media days.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him what the number one regret, you know, did he have any regrets, you know, as a coach? And it was kind of an uncomfortably long pause, at least it seemed like it to me.
Yeah.
And he came back, and what he said was that if he could take it back, if he could do something over again, he said, I missed too many events that my girls were a part of when they were real little.
Yeah.
You know, the recitals, the plays, you know, whatever it was that they were doing. And I thought, you know, wow, what a real person. You know, we sometimes feel like somebody like Nick Saban is, you know, a superhuman, maybe he is as far as coaching goes, but
a robot.
Yeah. Like a robot, but what a human response and something that we should take to heart. And that's exactly what we're saying. And let me say this too. And I know, you know, this goes against what I have probably done with our fall schedule, because we do have quite a bit on the calendar. Just because you don't have every single day an event on every single day, and just because you don't have every Saturday or Sunday something planned on every Saturday or Sunday, does not mean you are a bad minister.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're not a good youth minister.
Yeah.
And if some family time is what you need, if personal time is what you need, then take that. Don't plan so much, or plan something and go to some parents and say, my family's planning on doing something this weekend. I want to plan this event. Can you guys be in charge?
Yeah.
Because I really think the teens need it. I think that they will love it, but I can't be there and I need some time. Can you? And that does a couple of things. One, it helps another family be involved in the youth ministry, which, you know, you were talking about youth, you know, home and family minister, youth and family ministry.
Yeah.
And that's what it really should be. It gets them involved, but it also, you know, allows you some time too. So
yeah.
I think that's important. Take some personal time. take you a break every now and then. You know, if you're really feeling it, and if it's to the point. Now, I mean, if you're rocking along and you got the energy and whatnot, and you want to, you know, fill that schedule up, dude, that's fine
for sure.
But yeah. If you're feeling it, if you're already at a point where you're thinking, I need to get out, I've got to do something different with my life, then hey, scale it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Communicate with your elders about it and say, sure, this is going on. I want to stay here. I want to be a part of this. I want to do this, but I need to scale it back. And I guarantee you, most elderships will say, you just need to let us know when you need off.
Yeah.
And we got you covered.
Right.
So that's an important part. And then finally, just with every other thing in life, pray about it.
Yeah.
You know, and for sure. And we left that one for last because I think it's most important. You really should start with that, you know, when you begin to feel a little burned out, when you're feeling weary and like you want to give up, pray about it. Yeah. And ask God to lead you to something, you know, whether it's, you know, some answer for it or whatever. Pour your heart out to God about it and say, God, I feel like this is where you want me. I feel like this is what you want me to do, but I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We're not engaging the way we need to. They're not responding to, you know, the things that I'm teaching and things I'm saying. I'm seeing things online, on social media that are contrary to what I keep talking about. And it's got me to the point where, you know, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, your friends can help you a little bit. Your preacher can help you a little bit. Your elders can encourage you a little bit, but God can make that change, you know? And so he's going to give answers. I just believe that he would give you answers to overcoming those things and, you know, take those things to God, pour your heart out to him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things that I think we, I don't want to say forget. I don't really know what the term is to describe it, but I think one of the things we do from time to time is we don't process the fact that God wants to help.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to help us. He wants to guide us and he wants us to lean on him. He wants to carry that burden for us. And what greater way to know that I don't need to experience burnout because God yep. is on my side. And when you pray to him and you talk to him and let him know that, I mean, he already knows,
mm-hmm.
but when you're frustrated or you're downtrodden, talk to him and express those concerns because there's nobody better.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody more trustworthy. There's nobody yep. more reliable than God. So
exactly.
when you talk to him, let him know your struggles. Let him know your victories.
Yeah.
Let him know when something is good and you're thankful for it. Mm-hmm. I think we forget to thank him for those victories because that's his way of showing us, I know you're struggling here, but look at what happened here.
Right.
And maybe that can help you to influence over here where things are not where you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you here. So yeah, pray to God. Absolutely.
Yep. That's so important. So that's it. Those are our six keys to overcoming burnout. Remember your purpose. Focus on those victories. Do something new. Talk to other ministers. Take some personal time and pray about it. So for our final rush today, coming to the end of the show, Wes, what are some things you've got coming up? I know you mentioned a couple of things earlier.
Yeah, you know, the fan van's about to get running. Probably need to get the tires checked on the van and all that good stuff because we're about to get those things rolling. So very excited about that. Very pumped to see some of our young people do some really great things. Had the first football game Friday night, and I saw on Instagram one of our kids in our youth group, he got the Hit Stick Award.
Okay.
So it was in his locker. So I don't really know what that means, but mm-hmm. I think it's some sort of good accomplishment. So congratulations to Caleb. And Caleb's doing a great job and very proud of him. Very proud
Caleb,
of
Caleb where?
Caleb Story.
Story. That's what I meant. Story.
So we're real proud of all of our people who are just involved with so many things, and we want to travel to be a part of that as much as possible. So, the fan van's coming up. 314 is about to start up. It's a lot like your 121.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get together, eat a meal together, do a project of some sort. So we're real excited about that, excited to do that. We only do ours once a month. Just because we have different things that go mm-hmm. on Wednesday nights that kind of take up some different weeks in the month. So we do that once a month and get together for that. But I did want to plug the, you know, you're doing the prayer meeting at Brooks. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday at Rogers, there's a devotional that happens on Wednesday mornings around 7:30 as well. Larry Davenport referred to him as Coach Dobb, but it's Coach Dial.
Well, you know, he said that, and I thought, because I plan on going to some of those.
Yeah.
And he said that, and I thought, well, that's I don't know Coach Dobb. I know Coach Dial, but yeah. Maybe they moved it. Yeah. So it's still in Coach Dial's room.
Yeah, okay. But every opportunity I have to take a little rib at Larry Davenport, I'll take it. We love Larry and appreciate what he does so much. But you can't get nothing on Larry very often, so I had to take advantage of that. But that's kind of what we've got going on, Fan Van 314, mm-hmm. and want to encourage those students at Rogers to be a part of that devotional on Wednesday morning in mm-hmm. Coach Greg Dial's room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same thing here. Like I said, I stole Fan Van idea from you, and so I took some of the schedules that the parents had already given me, some of the teens had given me, and already mapped out some games we're going to try to go to, and so we'll plug some more of those in, so we'll get that going too.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. When I told the teens about it, and you know, they'd never really heard of a Fan Van like that. And so some of them were like, we should have been doing this a long time ago. And that gets me excited when they start saying stuff like that. So we'll start that up. And then, like you said, the prayer group, we're going to start that this Friday. By the way, those devotionals do start tomorrow at Rogers. So
that's right.
It kicks off tomorrow. I think they said 7:40, I think, is the time on that. So
yeah.
But that's at Rogers, then at Brooks, the prayer group at 7:30 every Friday, and then the Fan Van. We've got 121 kicking off in a couple of weeks or a week and a half, and Friends Night that I'm super excited about. We're going to meet at 5:45 at Rick's Barbecue over just across Shoals Creek Bridge, and we're going to eat a meal together, then come back to the building, hang out, and then have Bible class, and just make that a once-a-month big push to invite our friends and have a big group here together as we study the Bible. Our Upper Room Bible studies will be starting again here in a couple of weeks. So everything starts in September except for the prayer group. So I'm super excited about this fall and the things that we have coming up. I'm just I like to see when they're excited about it. And there's some energy going on in this area. And I just think that these youth groups are just about to start booming. And so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we've got some new, we talked about it last time we were together. We've got some new youth ministers in the area.
Yeah.
Some other guys moving on to different things and got some new guys in the area. We're really excited about that. And they've kind of brought a little bit of a push to us as well. So super, super excited about what God has in store for this area mm-hmm. for our young people and especially with them going back to school and just being that light, mm-hmm. Light for their peers and the people around them. So a lot of good things going on. Continue to pray for our young people.
Shout out to Cody Peary, the new guy at Florence Boulevard here. Yeah. And I've already seen, you know, some good things coming out of Florence Boulevard youth group, some energy there. And also at Tuscumbia, Andrew Thompson, who has taken over there as a youth minister. And I know they're excited about having somebody there. And it looks like he's kicked everything off great. He just had a retreat, an Ohana retreat, and I've heard positive things from it. My in-laws go there, and so he says, you know, look like they took a real big group. So glad to have those guys in the area, and look forward to working with them.
And Will at Highland Park.
And Will, you know, he's definitely new. I just should have mentioned Will Mahan.
He's not new to us.
That's, I think, the thing. Yeah. I didn't even think about Will because he grew up in this area and, you know, used to seeing him back in the day. And so, he began sort of towards the beginning of summer. So that may be reason too. But so that's what's been going on. And hope you enjoyed the episode today.
Yeah.
Look, we want to hear from you. So find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ministryzoo, on Twitter at ministryzoo. You can email us at ministryzoo@gmail. I'm having to think about these things, Wes. ministryzoo@gmail.com on iTunes podcast app and Google Play. And now we're on Periscope, live on Periscope, and also on Facebook Live. So we're going to try to come at you on Tuesdays now. Both of our schedules have changed a little since before summer, before when we were doing these episodes. So we may be on Tuesdays now instead of Mondays. So
Sounds good. Be
keeping up with us on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll try to let you know.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much for joining us today, and go Cubs.
All right. See you.